And our last case this morning is case number 102332, Judith Stanley versus Michael Astru.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Don Hanrahan from Springfield, Illinois. This Social Security disability case is here on appeal from the Central District. Luckily, it's not one where you have to wade through piles of medical evidence because we agree on the basic facts. And the basic facts are these. Mrs. Stanley is over age 50. She has a high school education. She has a functional capacity to physically perform some range of light work, but she also has a non-exertional impairment that keeps her from doing jobs more complex than three steps. So those are the facts. A vocational expert was consulted, according to the administrative law judge, for the specific purpose of determining the extent to which the occupational base was eroded. In other words, how much of the light exertional base went away, the light and sedentary occupational base went away because of her mental impairments. And the vocational expert identified some occupations, two of them at the light exertional level and five or six or seven at the sedentary level. But then he said, you know, it's really a small occupational base because of this non-exertional impairment.
What's that mean, a small occupational base?
He said,
I mean, there are a limited number of occupations that she can fill.
That's right, Your Honor.
And well, that doesn't necessarily translate to a limited number of jobs.
It does, because the vocational expert said it was certainly less than 200 occupations. Now, for any other individual over age 50 with the same vocational profile as Mrs. Stanley, who can perform 200 sedentary occupations, each representing hundreds or thousands of jobs, she's disabled because the commissioner administratively notices that that's an insignificant number of jobs for a person with that vocational profile. And so for Mrs. Stanley, she's got a combination of impairments. The grid rules don't direct a finding for her because she's got both exertional and non-exertional impairments. She doesn't meet the light rule, which says she's not disabled. She doesn't meet the sedentary rule, which says she is. So one of the things that just has to be understood is that this language that's being used in cases all over, including in this court and in the commissioner's brief, that the grids don't apply, is wrong. It's wrong. And the reason it's wrong is because 200E and Social Security rulings 83, 10, 12, and 14 say it's wrong. There's two ways. The grids either apply to direct the finding of disabled or not disabled, or they apply as a framework. There's no such thing as they don't apply. They always apply, unless the person is the person in the FAST case, which had only non-exertional impairments. So for Mrs. Stanley...
That all may be correct, but why does the fact that he was limited, or she was limited, to 200 occupations limit her access to employment?
For the same reason.
200 occupations. Why is that decisive?
Because the commissioner administratively notices that's not a significant number. The framework is the framework.
It's not a significant number of occupations.
That's right.
No one ever said that, I don't think.
Well, there's no case that says it. There's the medical vocational grid rules say it, Your Honor. They say it explicitly. For example,
they say that if there are only 200 occupations available, that you can't get a job? Is that what you're saying?
No, it says that she cannot reasonably be expected to make an adjustment to that small of an occupational base. It says it explicitly. and it's Medical Vocational Grid Rule 201.14. Every 50-year-old person who can't perform past relevant work and has no transferable skills, who could still do the whole range of sedentary work, 200 occupations, each representing hundreds of jobs, is administratively noticed as incapable of making an adjustment to that small of a base. So why does it make a difference if she has a non-exertional impairment that reduces it to that level? And the language of Social Security Ruling 8314 is very explicit. It talks only about occupational base, and it says the remaining occupational base will guide the decision. Occupational base is defined by 8310 to mean the bases set forth in the grids: sedentary, light, medium. So when a vocational expert says Mrs. Stanley has less than 200 occupations, less than the number that the commissioner administratively notices as insignificant, I think the ALJ at least has to talk about it. Was he asleep? Did he not hear it? I don't know. We don't know. He doesn't say. He doesn't say, you know, here's this evidence, and I think she still has a significant number, because he just doesn't even talk about it. He goes straight from, I have to use the grids as a framework to determine the erosion of the occupational base. And again, occupational base is legally defined in the rulings. And then he goes straight to numbers of jobs. Numbers of jobs, significant numbers, is sort of the holy grail that you're trying to get to. But before you get to it, there's the grids. And the grids are intended to simplify the process and to make it uniform, so that for people with certain profiles, you just don't worry about significant numbers. Now, I concede. Suppose the vocational expert said, well, there's about 200 occupations, but in these occupations, there are huge numbers of jobs, more than the sedentary occupational base. Well, then the ALJ's got a tougher time trying to figure out if that additional amount is a significant number. I'm not saying that we get out of the business of significant numbers, but the first question is, does a medical vocational grid rule apply either directly or as a framework? And in this case, it probably should have applied as a framework, but at the very least, the ALJ had to address that evidence. I don't think there's ever been a case that's come before this court where a vocational expert said it's reduced to the level of a rule that directs a finding that it's an insignificant number.
You put that framework as an objective standard then?
Yes.
You get to 200 or below, that's it. The occupation.
Yes, I think that's right.
Unless they explore further to see if the occupation has an unusual amount of jobs within it.
Yeah, in that circumstance, the judge would have a difficult decision to make. And, you know, then...
How many occupations are there? Is there such a number?
Yeah, there's 200 administratively noticed sedentary ones. There's 1,400 administratively noticed light ones, and another 1,000 or so.
So we're at 200 no matter what in a sedentary situation. And because you're making a distinction between functional and exertional or something, and like, is there a difference? Exertional or non-exertional?
Well, the rules speak, Your Honor, in terms of the medical vocational grid rules only address exertional capacity, sedentary, light, medium. 200E of the medical vocational grid says...
So these are all exertional then? Everything's exertional?
Yes, except for the framework analysis, which specifically addresses non-exertional and talks about how you have to look at how far those other bases are eroded. You start with light, and you try to figure out how much of the occupational base is left because of the non-exertionals. And if it's little more than the table rule that directs a finding, and that's the language of the rulings, if it's at that level or less, then that's what guides the decision. The remaining occupational base guides the decision, specifically stated. So I'm going to reserve some time for rebuttal if I can.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Siltz?
May it please the Court, Gary Saltz on behalf of Michael J. Astru, the Commissioner of Social Security. There's one thing that counsel said that I agree with, and that is that the grids do apply as a framework in a case like this. I think we've acknowledged that in our brief. I think the district court acknowledged that. So there's no dispute on that issue. But there is a dispute. I take serious issue with the position that applying the grids as a framework means that the standard that applies is whether or not this person could do more than 200 occupations. There is not a single case which Stanley has cited which remotely supports that proposition. The regulations which we've cited in our brief specifically say that a claim can be denied if the person can perform work that exists in significant numbers in one or more occupations. This court has frequently upheld ALJ decisions, including cases involving people of similar age, based on jobs in one or two or a small number of occupations. An example of such a case, which we talked about in our brief, is the Haynes case. In that case, the ALJ based his decision on two occupations consisting of about 11,000 jobs. This court upheld the ALJ's decision. It rejected an argument that the claimant in that case had made that was quite similar to the argument that Stanley is making here, where the claimant in that case was also arguing that it was inappropriate to use the light work grid rule as a framework for decision making. Now, one of the flaws that's underlying Stanley's position is that it assumes that a person who has the residual functional capacity for the full range of sedentary work and is age 50 or above would be found disabled even though that person could perform all 200 sedentary unskilled jobs, or 200 sedentary unskilled occupations. In fact, the grid directs a finding for an individual with a sedentary RFC at that particular age precisely because the person's age prevents that person from making a successful adjustment to a sufficient number of those jobs. And I want to emphasize here that the ALJ relied on vocational expert testimony that took into account Stanley's age. The ALJ specifically asked the vocational expert when deciding what jobs offering testimony about what jobs Stanley could do to consider the claimant's age. So the Stanley's age was taken into account by the vocational expert, and the jobs that the vocational expert identified were appropriate for a person of Stanley's age.
What is the import of Social Security ruling 8314 on this case?
Judge Sykes, the ALJ complied with Social Security ruling 8314.
Does that contain the sort of presumption that is being suggested here about this 200 job standard or 200 occupation?
Well, I think the only thing that I think the only mention of the 200 occupations in that ruling is at the very end of the ruling where it observes that there are, in fact, 200 sedentary unskilled occupations. Counsel has argued vigorously that in the briefs and, again, at argument, that 8314 requires a comparison, the comparison that he's talked about. The word comparison do not appear anywhere in that ruling. And I wanted to highlight what I think is perhaps the most telling language in the ruling, and that is the language that specifically instructs adjudicators what they need to say in their decisions when they're relying on expert testimony in a case like this. And this is toward the end of the ruling. It specifies that the ALJ or the other adjudicator should include in the decision two things. Number one, citations of examples of occupations slash jobs the person can do functionally and vocationally. The ALJ did that. And secondly, a statement of the incidence of such work in the region in which the individual resides or in several regions of the country. The ALJ did that. This court cited that language in Haynes. It found that the ALJ in Haynes acted consistently with 8314. And by the same token, the ALJ here acted consistently with SSR 8314. The ALJ provided, in this case, a detailed discussion as to why he concluded that Stanley could adjust to a significant number of jobs. It's almost a full page, single space in the decision. He certainly provided an adequate and logical bridge that allows the court to understand how he reached his conclusion. The court has no other questions. I'll ask that the court affirm the district court's judgment in the commissioner's favor. Thank you.
Mr. Hanrahan, how much time? You've got a minute in rebuttal.
8314 says, and I quote, in reaching judgments as to the sufficiency of the remaining occupational base, there are three situations to consider. Number one, where it is clear that the additional limitation has very little effect on the exertional occupational base, the conclusion directed by the appropriate table rule would not be affected. That's light, not disabled. Number two, where it is clear that additional limitations or restrictions have significantly eroded the exertional job base, like here, set by exertional limitations alone, the remaining portion of the job base will guide the decision. Haynes made a bad argument. Haynes said, you can't do a full range of light work, therefore shoehorn me into the sedentary grid rule. There was no testimony in that case from VE that said there's less than 200 occupations like there is here. I think if this is the case of first impression to deal with this, then I hope that you will reverse the commissioner and order them to articulate better how they reach the conclusion. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court is in recess.